Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to It's Okay to Be You. Woohoo! Our wonderful, crazy, fun, you gotta love it, and you're probably dying, you know, because you haven't seen us for a week, radio show. Happy Monday! How are you guys? Woohoo!
Hi, everybody.
Are you good?
I'm good. I'm not the same person
happy?
I was
what's
last
happening?
Monday,
good,
but
Steve?
I'm
what's
still
going on?
Good.
Huh? I think we might have lost Steve. Do you think we lost him?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, I couldn't hear you. I wasn't sure if you just didn't like my introduction, Steve, or what was it? I thought, oh, my God, Steve's gone, and he just got here. This is our first time we've had Steve on the air, so, you know, you never know what's going to happen. They could just take off on you, right, Michelle?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's always a good idea if we, when we first start out, and this is going to be new for you, Steve, so hold on to your hat. What we like to do is we like to hug the whole entire planet. Have you ever done that before?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's a virtual hug, and we hug all the listeners, and they hug us back. They get involved, in it, and we get to hug each other, which is really cool, so that we're all on the same page. And it's a very good bonding type of relaxing thing that we do at the beginning of the show. So we're going to do that now, and so I'll just find a place, Steve, to relax and sit down. If you're not, I'm sure you're sitting down, but, you know, sit down again. Relax. And everybody just take a big, deep breath. And hold it in and let it go. And as you let it go, just let everything go, all the tension, worries, anything that's in your way and stopping you from just having the best life possible, let it go. So let's take another breath, and this time breathe in peace and love and happiness and breathe out the stress, okay? So 1, 2, 3, breathe in. Hold it and release, let go. And right now, just feel the peace that comes with letting go of all your junk. And you're going to see right above your head a beautiful white light. And let that white light just come down in through the top of your head and go through your whole entire body. And as it does that, have it just light you up and really get you feeling connected and at peace with yourself and at one with the universe, and let it go through your whole body. And as it is exiting through your feet, just be with that feeling for a moment of peace and calm. And now we're going to hug everybody on the planet, and we're going to actually hug the planet. So visualize the planet, and anybody that you need to see in that planet in the universe, anyone you feel that you want to put in there, visualize them as well. Make sure you visualize us, and take your arms out to your side, stretch them out, and make a nice big hugging motion, rounding your arms, and inside your arms, just visualize the whole universe. See how it's bright and illuminating and full of stars and just wonderful, and you are hugging it. Take this moment to really get that concept. You are hugging the universe. And squeeze really tight. Okay, and release. Whew. That was lovely. How did you guys feel after that?
Very nice.
Energized.
Yeah.
Good.
That was good, huh? So much better. It always helps, you know, we're running and we're racing to try to get here and we have a show and we got to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it's so nice to take that time to just relax, let go, and just let it all hang out. You know what I mean? And that way we can be in the moment and ready to go with our introductions. So without further ado, I am going to introduce to you somebody very wonderful. Her name is Michelle Laub, and she is just a gem to work with here on having as a co-host on the radio show. I absolutely love it. She is a highly sought-after certified law of attraction expert and Toltec specialist. Did I say that right?
Yes, Toltec. Right.
Toltec.
Okay. Spirit.
Okay. Which is the four agreements, and she's a specialist, well, in five actually even. And she has so many skills and talents and things that she does. The list, and this is true, if you go to her website, is so long, your eyes will get tired by the time you're done. I could never even go through them all. But she is a wonderful giving person, and we totally think she's fantastic. So I want to say welcome to Michelle. Michelle, take it away. Woohoo, Michelle.
Hi.
There she is, Michelle.
I was missing
Laub.
That drum roll, Dawn. Really missing it. So, thank you for that introduction. Thank you for that introduction. You know, there's a lot of what I do and who I be, and mostly I enjoy sharing wisdom with other people, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity to just speak from my heart what I know, and thank you for providing that, Dawn, and thank you for providing the energy that propels this radio show so that other people can experience the kind of energy you bring and the curiosity that you have for whatever we're talking about, and I so honor that, and I want to talk about that as well as the fact that you are a life coach, that you went into this profession because that's probably your life's purpose. I can feel that. And and that you support other people to be the greatest vision that they have of themselves. And that is such a gift and something that we really all need. You do it so beautifully. So thank you for that. And anybody wants to find out more about Dawn, go to Motivational Whispers, and you'll find out. So,
all right. Thank you very much. And here I am. Let me go ahead and I don't know what is wrong with this thing. For some reason or another, I can't get these drums to work tonight. All right, let's pretend the drum roll's working. Wait, maybe I have a different one. Oh, wait, watch this. No. I don't know. Sometimes, every once in a while, that wasn't what I wanted. Every once in a while, a ghost comes in here, and it decides what's going to happen. I'm serious. And then there's nothing you can do. You have to go with the ghost. Well, we're going to see if the drum roll works when we have it for our next host, or a guest co-host, actually. And that is our wonderful and exciting Steve, who happens to be an engineering consultant, a blogger, and a sales coach. And he helps high commission sales professionals that are struggling to make enough sales. He will streamline their sales techniques so that they end up making more money. So that's a wonderful thing. And he's a published author. And like you, Michelle, he's got way too many things on his list of accomplishments that I would be reading them for the rest of my life, and that's what the whole show would be about. It would be the Steve and Michelle skills hour bio hour, right? Anyway, he is a wonderful guy. He has a happens to know a lot about money, which is one of the reasons he's on. So we're going to get his expertise about money and how to get it and not lose it and how to get your mindset going, which is my one of my expertise is the millionaire mindset. We're going to talk about that. So I want to welcome everybody. Welcome to the show, Steve, who's not going to get anything. Not going to get a drum signal. Wait, I got something else. This seems to work. How's that?
Hey, that worked. Thanks for having me on the show, Dawn, and thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate how you guys really spend the time to acknowledge people on the call. I think that's fantastic, and, I mean, it's actually a routine or a habit I've developed in the morning to acknowledge myself, but to do it for other people, that is fantastic, and I really appreciate that and appreciate being here.
You know, the fact that you noticed that is really wonderful. There was someone else on the show who said that, too, that, you know, we sit there and give each other props on the show, and you can't hear that enough because this show is about your mindset. So obviously, the more that you can let yourself and other people know that you're wonderful, the more other people will shine and rise up to that and become wonderful. It's true. So anyway, I am so glad you guys are here. I mean, both of you, that you're here. And I'm glad you're here, Steve, because one of the things that really is a problem that I see that's a big problem with most people is the way that they think about money and their whole entire, like they have a lot of baggage, their whole mindset around what it means to have money, what that, if they have too much of it, what's going to happen to them, and how are people going to look at them? Are they still going to be the same? And a lot of people really have a lot of baggage around money, and they got it from their family, from their parents. So one of the things I thought, because it came up on the other show, is that we need to have a show where we talk about how to get this millionaire mindset and how to deal with all the things that are coming up for us and how to not only deal with it, right, how to get rid of it. So I want to start out, I'm going to ask you guys some questions and see where you're at with this, and then I'll add in because I have a lot of things to share. The last couple of weeks I've been doing a lot of speaking on the success mindset, so I've got it all right there, ready to go, but I always want to hear what other people, you know, have to say and where they're coming from. So, Steve, I know that, you know, you do a lot around money because you're dealing with sales, and I know you're dealing with people that are trying to sell things, and that's huge. That's a very big mindset you have to have behind that. So what are some of the things that you do to help people to get into the right frame of mind so that they can sell something?
Well, there's five things that I teach my clients, and probably 70 to 90% of the stuff that I work on with my clients is to do with the psychology of money. You know, one of the things that I'll just start with the five things that I actually help my clients with. The first thing I help them do is I get really clear about where they're headed.
That's important. They have to be clear.
You've got to be clear, and the reason they've got to be clear is because your attention is what creates your reality. A lot of people don't really identify with that. But when, you know, you have a goal 12 months out from now, 16 months from now, and you're really focused on that goal, you're focused on it's desirable, it's believable, and it's really that's where you're focused, then what happens is the natural response to that is that your perceptions, your thoughts, and your behaviors start to move towards that goal. So attention is a big part of it. You want to be focused on the end goal. Funny enough, that I was.
So you tell them, wait, before you go, you tell them that they need to, and this is good, they need to keep their attention on what the result is that they want. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, well, I'll be really specific here. What most people do when they think of money is they think of the scarcity of it. They think of the lack of it. And that gives them a certain vibration and a certain feeling in their body. And usually that feeling is one of, you know, frustration, pain, you know, just like, oh, hopelessness, like it's just not going to happen. When you feel that way, you are actually pushing the money that you want away. So what you want to do is you want to focus on the having of the money, the options it gives you, the flexibility it gives in your life, the ability to buy more clothes or to go on more vacations or give the money away or give it to a charity or give it away to a friend. What would that feel like? And for most people, when they have that experience of that wealth and abundance, they feel relieved. But most people don't feel relieved. They feel anxious. They feel anxiety. They feel fear. And because of that, they're focused on the scarcity of what they want. So, you know, it's a subtle difference, but it really comes down to what you guys, how you guys started the call. You started the call in silence. You quieted the mind. And when you do that, what happens is, and actually John Assaraf from The Secret gives a great example. He says, if you want to speed up the outside, and this includes money, relationships, or anything, but when it comes to money, when you want to speed up the outside, you actually want to slow down the inside. And the example he gives is like, of a vehicle. If you're running a standard vehicle and you're in first gear, you rev up and you go into second gear, what happens is the car's going faster on the outside, but it's going slower on the inside. And so what happens is you slow down the inside, you start to go faster on the outside because of what you guys just said earlier. You know, Don, you talked about slowing, quieting the mind, slowing down. What happens is you become more aware. And when you're more aware, what happens is you get that if you're focusing on the lack or the scarcity of what you want, it doesn't come to you. But if you focus on it already being here as if you're expecting it, it shows up. So that's part of the mindset around money, is just to get out of...
Can I add something to that? It's a simple mantra that I say, and that is that energy flows where attention goes. So I need to keep watching where I'm putting my attention because that's where my energy is going.
Mm-hmm.
And as I just said to Dawn, my goal is really to put my energy on my creation, on myself, no matter who needs what, about what, where, how, who, when. I need to focus on me. And it got so clear to me today that... One of the
You had an epiphany just today about that.
Because one of the pitfalls that I have is to have such a big heart that I forget to put myself in it.
See, that's huge because a lot of people do that. Actually, that is a big one. That is a big one. It's like and I've done this a lot too. We leave ourselves out, and we forget that without ourselves, there is really nothing. It's like you have to take care of yourself first, then you can take care of other people. That is huge. Well, I love that. I love what you guys are saying. So that's the first thing that you do, right? Then what's your second step, Steve?
So the second step is just to develop an action plan around that goal, right? So once that my clients get focused to develop an action plan so that it's, daily what they're doing is they're taking strategy and small steps to move them towards the biggest goal. It's very simple, but some of the things that I teach them to do on a daily basis and what I call are these things are the tiny action steps they take every day are like tiny, tiny locks opening huge doors. Tiny, tiny locks opening huge doors. I'll give you an example. So you guys talked about, you kind of hinted towards it, I'll kind of expand on it, is that, a lot of people don't realize is that the amount of money that you make is tied directly to your self-worth or your self-image. So
yeah, that's true. I agree with you there.
So as an example, like if you feel very, really valuable to your clients or to the work that you do, your employer, you're going to demand more money from them. You're going to pay yourself more if you feel that you're worth more.
Well, you're going to do even more than demand it. You're actually going to do something that's worth it, and then you go and ask for more money. You will start to do what's called going the extra mile. And once you go the extra mile, then they're going to give it to you. If they don't, you got to tell them they're going to give it to you. But it's called the art of negotiation.
And what's funny about, one of the, because I work with salespeople, is that they're always selling themselves. And if you feel really good about yourself, in other words, you have a really, your self-worth is really huge, it's easy to sell yourself because you can think of, you know, 10, 20, 100 positive things about you, you know, you incorporated. You can think about 100 positive things. And so when you're talking to someone and saying, you know, I'd really like that 10% raise, or I'd really like to do business with you and this is why, it's easy to sell yourself because you've got that self-worth. So that's part of it. Now, a small exercise, when I talk about the strategic action plan, work doing it daily, one thing that you can do every day that increases your self-worth is to write 10 awesome things about you. And it could be, you know, that you've got good skin, you've got great hair, you know, you helped someone shovel the driveway, or, you know, you could, you know, I'm up in Canada, so it snows if you're alive, but ideally you can tell, you know, it's going to be 10 awesome things. It's not like gratitude where it's like 10 awesome things about your life.
Right, it's about you.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because sometimes you'll think of one or two things, but when you have to go to 10, I think that actually stretches the imagination. You start to really find out how wonderful you are.
Right, and then that's when you see that you work, you know, when it comes to money, you're like, wow, I'm a really good coach, or I'm a really good writer, I'm a really good speaker, I'm really good at, you know, radio show host, or I'm really good. It's like, you're like, wow, I demand more of myself.
Now, every day that they have to come up with something different?
It doesn't have to be something different, but what happens is that as you keep writing out the list, your mind automatically generates and creates new items that are good about you. So there's a perceptual shift.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love it. As a matter of fact, this is a great tip that people can take away. And,
okay.
You know, while we're in this place right here where we're not quite there yet, but we're trying to make that leap to feeling better, and we don't, you know, you're like feeling so-so, or some people are feeling terrible, whatever the case is. These tips or these action steps that you can take are huge. This right here is the whole entire key to getting out of that mindset that is making you poor, which is what's happening. It's literally creating it. You're doing it. You don't know, right? People don't know. If we're poor, we create it. If we're rich, same thing. So what you just said, Steve, was perfect because that's an action step that will start to build your self-esteem. It will make you feel good about yourself, and you'll start to, you know, have the focus on what are you doing that is good and positive in your life instead of I don't have this, I don't have that, and, you know, focusing on the lack, right?
Right.
Michelle, do you have anything that people can do?
Yeah, I want to go back to energy because more and more I understand it's all about energy, that our whole universe works on an energetic level, and it's all about energy. And I scientifically can't really tell you what maybe a science person can, but as a metaphysician, I can tell you that. That like attracts light, that everything is light attracting light, and you attract the light of who you are to you. That's how it works. So when you're focusing on lack, you're going to deplete your energy. Let's say that really works. We live in a vibrational universe.
Right.
And you're going to deplete your energy. You're going to attract other things that deplete your energy. You're going to attract people who also live in lack. And, you know,
makes it worse. The more people you get like that, the more energy you're going to have that's bad. I mean, that's negative and pulling you down.
Of course. And the fourth agreement, always do your best, really means keep that energy up there. Loving yourself is how you.
So do you have like a way that people can keep their energy up there?
Yeah, I really do. And I think that the idea that Steve shared, 10 great things that I think about me, is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
10 things I'm grateful for. And that could be things about me one day and things about the universe another day. Just start your day with gratitude. Recognizing that it's spring. We live in an extraordinarily abundant universe. There has to be enough. That there is. It's just the isness of life.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely enough. People might start to think there's not enough, but there definitely is enough.
One of the things I did
that worked for me, and being in the situation, Steve, where you were at, when I first started in sales 20-some-odd years ago, or however long it was, we won't go back 50 million years, right? B.C., it was sometime or another, one of the things that happened, I had no experience, and I didn't really know what I was doing, and I had to sell people things, and I had to do it in the most difficult way possible, and that's making cold calls. And if you don't sound like, you know, you're what you're selling is something great, that people can pick up on that and forget it, you're dead, right? And so
yeah.
It was hard for me to do this because I really didn't know what I was doing. I was brand new and nervous. And so I thought to myself, I bet that if Bill Gates called these people up, they would, you know, not hang up on them and pay attention to them, right? So, right, I thought they would never hang up on Bill Gates. So who do you think I became? Bill Gates. I borrow, oh, yeah, this is the one thing, and I tell this to all my clients, and this has been working for me. When I was a manager and a sales director, I told this to everybody. Until I could get to that level of vibration, I borrowed his vibration, his level. And here's the trick. I believed it. I believed I was him during that time. Of course, I didn't walk around like him all the rest of the time. But when I was on the phone, I was him. And my feeling was, if Bill Gates was selling this, you'd buy it. And gosh darn it, did they not buy. I mean, it was like that was the beginning of the hugest success. That started it. I sold more than anybody in that company had ever sold. I mean, I went straight to the top. And eventually, I didn't need Bill Gates anymore. I was doing so well, I could use Don Abraham. Right? Because I was doing good. But that was the best thing ever. And so it doesn't have to be Bill Gates. It can be whoever you, like, you can be in a company, and if you hear a salesperson that's got a lot of confidence, you can pick that person. You know, you don't even have to tell anyone. Just wear it and own it. And, you know, that worked for me. So,
yeah, you're emulating, modeling.
I want to see just one second if we have somebody who, I think I actually see someone on the line, and usually Eileen answers the line to see who it is, but I wanted to see if they wanted to say anything. Let me just see here for a minute. Hello, did you want to say anything? Hello? Do we have anybody there? All right, let's go ahead and put them back on hold. All right, go ahead. So,
yeah,
Steve.
So, yeah, Don, yeah. So you were saying that you were emulating and modeling, like, people that were already, like, they had a picture-perfect vibe to you. You're like, I'm going to model that. I'm going to emulate that confidence, that person who's being, I don't know, persuasive or confident or just on top of their game.
Yes.
And, like, well, my question was, were you selling computers or were you selling something else?
No, it doesn't. I wasn't selling anything to do with computers. The thing is, okay, I was selling a service that was a staffing service. But the point was, I picked him because I had some kind of a, you know, I just like related to him as being someone who people would want to talk to, everybody would know, and that no one would say no to. That if he calls you up and says, look, I got this deal going on, you're going to say, where do I sign? You know, and especially back then when I was doing that, not saying he's not popular now, but he was really popular back then. And he was just in my mind as somebody that if I took on his energy and his confidence, that I could do anything. And, of course, that was the case. I could do anything. You know, I took it on and, you know, all of a sudden I went from someone who was, like, fumbling with, you know, my words on the phone to, you know, and I'll see you on Monday, or you know what I mean?
That's awesome. I love it.
So it was the quality of him that you embraced.
Mm-hmm. Just the idea of that confidence and that energy, yes, I embraced that. And What happened is that that feeling that I, Dawn, do not know what I'm doing was gone. And when you have that feeling, you don't present very well. You present like, you know, someone who's scared and doesn't know what they're doing, and people sense that and they won't buy from you. And that's a no-brainer. That's a fact. So the only way to get rid of it, because I couldn't all of a sudden overnight know what I was doing, was to find somebody that had a lot of confidence, and that even though he didn't know what he was doing there, he was just someone that if I was that person, you know, I was going to have confidence, and that I was going to take on that persona of, you know, I know what I'm doing, and I am successful and a winner, and everybody wants to talk to me. That's what I took on.
Which is awesome, because the biggest fear that salespeople have is when they do a cold call is, like, they're going to feel like I'm being, you know, the person in their line is going to feel like I'm bugging them, they don't have enough time. But if you're Bill Gates, they're like, I can totally see that. It's like, I'm Bill
Gates.
Well,
I've never really been the conventional kind of person, but it's always worked.
Whatever works, that's fantastic. I love that. I'm going to use that.
Okay, yeah, you should. It works like a charm. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing.
You borrowed Bill Gates, so I'm going to borrow Dawn.
Just borrow whoever it is. Like, borrow them, and then boom, whatever it is, you start feeling like, hey, I can do this, I can do that. It's the greatest thing, you guys. So that's the thing. They've got to come up with something that gets them into that vibrational shift, into that pattern. And so we've come up with a couple things here. One of them, which I love, is that write down what you every day, 10 things that are good about yourself. And what about also writing down 10 things that they're achieving, like that they've achieved? Is that the same thing, Steve?
Yeah, so it can be an acknowledgement, something that you feel proud to have done. You know, whatever you've done is something you've accomplished, and that would be part of the 10. Regardless, it's got to be something that it's about you, you know, something that you are appreciative of yourself, that's awesome about you, that you're really proud of. And, like, you know, sometimes it's tough, man. I mean, if someone's in a hopeless state, then, you know, coming up with something that they're proud of is going to be like, well, I don't have anything. Well, think back. You know, is it a month, a year, 2 years? Is there anything proud of that you can say that you've done in the last 2 years? And they'll say, well, no. And they say, well, what do you like about your physical body? Well, you know, I've got nice skin. Okay, well, let's start there. You know, you just start small.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you can't do this, it builds, right? And then after 30 days, you can come up with some awesome things, and you're vibrating like a magnet because you just feel so good about yourself. And the other thing that that process does is, and you mentioned it when you talked about emulating Bill Gates, is that you start to believe that, you know, you believe in what you're doing, you believe that what you're doing is good, you feel good about yourself, but the belief is so important. And what a lot of salespeople do is they say, okay, my goal for the next 12 months, I mean, I was on the phone with, over the last month, 12 different salespeople, and when I asked them, I said, what's your goal over the next 12 months? They're picking stuff that's like 10, 20% more than when they're earning now. When their earning potential is they could easily double their income, you know? So,
So
the problem with that is that when you pick something that's only 10 or 15% more, what happens is there's not enough emotional juice that actually gets you to go, to get you to take action, to make things happen. So that's the problem with it. Now, the opposite end of that is that people who set goals that are too big is that they might get a lot of emotional juice, but then the juice fades away, and then they just say, well, I don't really believe I can do that. So, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say 10 being, I absolutely know I can do that goal, and 1 being, there's no way in hell, their goal is like a 2, 3, or out of 10. So it's like, I don't really believe I can do it. I'm taking this action, but I don't really believe anything's going to result out of it, so why would I even bother? And they stop taking action. So what I do with my clients, I actually say, okay, your goal from 12 months from now should be a 2 or 3 out of 10. You shouldn't believe that you can do it. If you can, it's too low of a goal. But this is the secret to making it believable. What I do with them is I say, hey, okay, make it a 3 out of 10. Now let's work backwards. So 3 months out, let's say 90 days from now, let's pick a goal that's about an 8 out of 10 for you. And when I say 8 out of 10, I mean 10 being you absolutely know you can do it, and one being there's no way in hell, it's about an 8. And so what happens is they at some point they achieve that goal. It might be in 90 days, it might be in 120 days. Then that goal is a 10. Then what they have is you set up another 90-day goal, and that goal is an 8 out of 10. By the end of the last 30 or 90 days of the year, the goal that was originally a 3 out of 10 is now an 8 out of 10. Because each time they achieve the goal, their belief goes up. They bump up
right.
the ceiling on what they can earn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the
yeah.
secret to making it happen, is that you want to pick believable goals in the beginning, mark them out 90 days, project them out, but then each 90 days, lift it up, stretch. And by the end of the year, you've doubled your income. I did that with a sales professional back in 2011. He actually increased his, he went from about $5,000 to $10,000 a month to $24,000 a month using that process.
Yeah, well, what I like about it is it's nice and like piecemealed out. You know, it's not, okay, here's what I have to do for the whole year. It's like, you know, you're jumping to, you know, this little space of time, and then once I achieve that, then I go to this goal and then achieve that, and then you're building on that. You know, before you know it, boom.
Boom, you're there.
Yeah.
You're there. So, see, because
exactly.
that was one of the problems. Had is I you know, whatever it was, I think it was 2005 or 2006. I'm like, okay, I want to earn $5 million a year. I had that goal for 2 years. I didn't even get close. It wasn't believable to me, right? So then what I had to do is I had to work back and just set believable goals, things that was like, you know, maybe a little bit.
Right, because you started out with something too big that your mind could not accept that at that point.
Exactly. It was totally outside my realm of reality.
Mhm. Right. So your
yeah.
subconscious said, "I don't think so."
So it's like there's no possible way.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you can get there, but don't you think then breaking it down like what you just talked about is the way to get there, instead of saying I want to make $2 million in 1 year? That's just too much for you to conceive of, especially if people come from making nothing. If they're like right now, if they're jobless and their life isn't working out, if all of a sudden their goal is I'm making $1 million this year, it's like their subconscious will not bite on that. It'll be very hard to believe, and therefore the whole thing will, they'll feel even worse, right?
It's well said. Exactly. Their subconscious won't bite on it. I thought that was beautifully said. Yeah. So if you're jobless right now, what you should be doing is, if you've had a job in the past, then getting a job, another job, to earning the same amount or maybe a little bit more what you earned before should be your goal. That would be something that's, you know, an 8 out of 10 for you.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So you'd
and then when they get in there, they can start
reach.
With... Excuse go
me.
Ahead, Michelle. I'm sorry.
You want to keep your goals just out of reach, not out of sight. Is that right?
Yeah. So let's use a specific example. So let's say that in the last 5 years, your average income was $25,000 a year. So what you want to do is you want to ask yourself, well, if I earn $30,000 in the next 12 months, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I absolutely know I can do it, and 1, there's no way in hell, what would I rate that? And if you said 8 or 9, then I'd say that's the goal that you should set up for the next 90 days. Is like that you should, what you should be targeting for. Now, if you said to yourself, my goal, I mean, 50,000, it's the same exercise. You want to keep picking goals that are just slightly, like you said, Michelle, just slightly out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just enough so that you don't freak out, but it's doable. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So,
yeah.
All right. So that's a really good way to get up there. And the net, all right, so what is a good way, let's say, that if people are really having mindset problems, you know, where they thought like this for their whole life or whatever. They're not just going through a bad time and they need, you know, some pick-me-up, right? But they actually need help in changing their mindset completely from what they thought when they were a child. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but what are some things that somebody can do to actually change that mindset from, you know, everything, nothing works out for me, I'm poor, life sucks, whatever, you know, to...
Yeah.
Steve,
right.
I don't know exactly what you do, but I took an initial class in the Millionaire Mind, and it woke me up in ways that absolutely floored me, and it was free. So I think people should start looking at the work of T. Harv Eker for that and see where they what their ideas are. I can tell you for myself, I was in the category of a money monk, M-O-N-K, monk.
Well, what, tell us, share some of the things that you learned.
Well, that I learned that I personally believe that I shouldn't get money for metaphysical wisdom that had helped me in my life, that I should not get paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kept giving it away and was really
Wait, you learned stuck that in the course or you learned that throughout your life?
In my life, I was raised as a communist, so I was still living it.
So that's not what you learned in the course. That's what you learned in your life, right?
I learned that in my life, but I didn't know that it was running the bus. I had no idea that I was still, that was my underlying belief.
Mm.
And I think that learning what we believe about money and about and
is
where
important.
We got those beliefs and not believing them, knowing that they were conditioned ideas that our parents put into our heads, it has nothing to do with us. I learned that.
Yeah.
And
the first thing that is really good is that you even notice that that is what you learned, that that's the way you think, right? If we don't know that that's what's happening, it's hard to change it. Some people just think, this is normal to be like that, right?
Yes. Well, this class was so good that as you had the 3 days of experience, you began to really uncover your ideas about money.
Yeah,
so you uncovered all that, and what was some of the ways that, you know, or some of the things that you learned that you could do to change that?
Uh-huh. Well, I began to really value what it is that I can share with people in a way that I hadn't before. And in valuing my own self-worth, it was easier for me to ask for money. Now, I could always ask for money for anyone else, and I'm very generous, but when it came to asking money for me, there was a block.
Mm. A lot of people have that.
And there was like a limit. There was you can't ask more than $100 for your services. Other people that do what you do don't. You know, or it's very competitive out there, so you have to do competitive pricing instead of looking at my value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all
so
about
it
value.
It absolutely shifted that. Yeah, it really shifted that. And then I realized, too, that a lot of what I was taught by my communist parents, which was from each according to their ability, to each according to their need, was, well, I don't really need anything, so I can just keep doing this and not receive. There was a door shut on receiving for me. And I uncovered that. And I don't think
that's
everybody
huge,
is as dramatic as I am, you know, because I've had a pretty dramatic life. However, I do believe that we have beliefs that we don't know we're running the bus. We have no idea that they're there. So.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with Michelle that Harv's program is awesome. I actually took his program in 2006. I highly recommend it to anyone, especially since it is free. It's a huge awakening. And the stuff that you said also, Michelle, about all of our beliefs are, you know, a great portion of, if not more than 95% of our beliefs coming from our parents, including those about money, that's true. I think what has really wakened me up as well is, you know what, we're in the internet age, so go on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel that's got over 100 videos, and quite a few of them are about money. So, you know, Google me or whoever, but you Google Harv. You know, just go out there and learn about, you know, these limiting beliefs about money. Study the science behind it. It's insane.
They have to see what you, it's a good idea they find out where you're, like you can say your YouTube channel, because Steve, you don't want to send people out on a hunt for this on the internet, because there's so many people out there that don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, we have a couple that you just named, okay, that Harv and you,
mm-hmm.
right, that we know is going to have some good stuff on there about money. And, you know, I don't know if Michelle's written anything on money, but, you know, I know I have too.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to stick with people who know what they're doing and are going to lead you in the right direction, down the right path, not somebody else who God knows what is going to happen, right?
Well, let me share a bit of information that will be of value and insight to people. So Bruce Lipton wrote a book called The Biology of Belief. It's a great book. If you haven't got it, get it. And what he did is he did a bunch of experiments back in the 60s with Petri dishes. What he did is he actually was looking at the source of DNA and hereditary patterns, and he was like, you know, are DNA and hereditary patterns what drives, you know, our behaviors and beliefs from generation to generation, or is it something else? That was the big question mark. And what he discovered was he took identical cells, identical DNA, and he put them in three different Petri dishes. And after 90 days, one of the Petri dishes produced bone cells, the other one's muscle cells, and the other one's fat cells. And so you look at that and you say, well, you can take the exact same DNA from the exact same strand, and you put in two different Petri dishes, a different environment, and you get different cells. Why? And so what he concluded was with the environment. And if you look at when people are growing up between the ages of 0 and 5, they form, and Bruce quotes, I'm quoting Bruce now, but he says that 95% of your beliefs are formed between the ages of 0 to 5. And you get those beliefs from your environment, your parents, your teachers, the people who raised you. Now the question is, why would it happen before the age of 5? Why would it all happen then? And there's actually a really good reason. If you look at the biology of human beings, we're actually in either one of four brainwave states through entire life, and we're in delta when we sleep, we're in alpha and theta when we're fully going between sleep and awake, and at night and in the morning we're in that alpha-theta state, and during the day we're in beta. Now, it turns out that when you're in alpha or theta, that kind of drowsy state when you wake up in the morning, what happens is you're actually... there's this conduit that's open to the subconscious. So whatever you're feeling, whatever you're saying to yourself, whatever you're imagining at that point in time provides direct access to the subconscious. It's like this gate opens. And then when the gate opens, you can put whatever you want in your mind. The interesting thing is that babies from the age of 0 to 5 are in the alpha-theta state for the predominantly part of their life, their waking life. So they're just picking up whatever their parents are doing unconsciously. So
right.
If you think about it, there's two really good things to know about this. One is that if you're in the alpha or theta state in the morning or at night, if you repeat phrases to yourself, affirmations, whatever, do them at night or do them in the morning. That's going to be way more effective. And number two is your environment is what creates your programming for a big extent. So put up a vision board, you know, put up pictures of things you want. Like, create an environment that's successful to you. And that will help you with developing new empowering beliefs. You know, my wife went to a high school locally here where we live now. We moved back to where we both grew up. And she would bump into these people once in a while. And she had said, you know, it makes me feel weird. And because when I was growing up, these are the kids that, you know, they had a lot of wealth. They had a lot of money. They came from wealth. Their parents were doctors, lawyers, that sort of thing. And so she said that, because some of them used to make fun of her when, you know, she was in school, she always associated having money as being someone who's mean. And she didn't want to be mean, so she pushed the money away.
Uh-huh. Yep. Because she didn't want to relive or have that same feeling about how she felt when they made her feel bad when she was young. Yep.
Yeah, so that's an example of a limiting belief, right? A limiting idea. It you know, to her, it's like, that's not a limiting belief. That's just my experience.
The thing, Steve. People don't know that they have these limiting beliefs because they think, hey, you know, half the time they're not even thinking about it. So they don't realize, oh, I'm walking around with all these thoughts about things because I've heard, you know, or I feel negative things around money.
Yeah, exactly. And right. that's a good litmus test. If you want to know if you have limiting beliefs about money, is, you know, if you think about, you know, going to ask for more money at your job, and all of a sudden this fear comes up, you know, there's a limiting perception there for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Because I never had a problem asking for more money. As a matter of fact, I felt like not only did I deserve it, but they're lucky to have me.
Nice.
And oh, I believe that 100%. And
well,
I always got it.
I never had to do that. So that's interesting, because as a school guidance counselor, I never had the union did that for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's true. You
that.
Wouldn't have to worry about that. Well, yeah, because you're in a different type of job. So,
but now I'm not. So
now you're not. So now you have to come out of that comfort zone of, you know, someone else doing that for you, and you got to make it happen yourself. But, you know, like we're talking about, one of the things, too, is just getting out there and doing things. I mean, movement and action really have worked wonders. If you don't do anything and you just sort of stay paralyzed, you know, nothing good's going to come from that. So seeing that you can do things and going out and trying them works. And if you're trying something and you're scared, that's for the first time, that's normal to be scared. You want to do it anyway. That's what all the successful people do, is they are scared to death when they're doing something out of their comfort zone, but they keep going. You know, so you just want to get out there and go for it. I mean, one of the things that Steve was saying is, you know, we had talked about this last week, actually, Steve, about the, you know, vision board and dream board and all the things that help motivate you, because that was the topic of the call, right? And
okay.
What gets you going, right? And this is will also work for, you know, this. So I like that you brought that up, is, you know, creating the vision board. Because if you've never created one, what happens in the process of creating it is you get really excited and you get into what you're doing. And it's like it brings out that part of you that likes to, do art or create or have something going on. So you get really involved with a vision board. It's not just something like you wrote down some goals and it's kind of like there they are, right? You have all the great colors. Yeah, this is a nice thing. And pictures, and, you know, you can bring it out and look at it, and it's big. And, you know, you want to get like a big poster board so that it really kind of gives you that kind of overwhelming but cool feeling of like, wow, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, this is what I have. This is, and it really does give you that experience of having it. You know, it's like I already have it, and that's what you want. That's where you want to be, right?
Right, and I think that's something that, you know, if you want to do it online, that it works. I don't know if it works as well, but it still works with Pinterest, where, you know, I actually named one of my boards a vision board, and then I pinned, you know, the things that I wanted. And a lot of times I want feelings of things, so I'll pin something that makes me feel a certain way, right? But so I put those things on the board. So you don't need, if you don't want to cut stuff out of a magazine and paste them on a poster board, you can do it on Pinterest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Any form of creation, right, where you just said it before, you're putting your creations out there and making them manifest. I mean, that's what manifest means, to manifest physically, right? So if you're manifesting them physically, even if it is a vision board, that's taking something that is an idea and making it real. So that's part of the manifestation.
Yeah, and you're going, you're getting into action.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So instead of just sitting there and doing nothing, you're like doing stuff to make that happen. So that is true. Okay, so we have like 6 more minutes. So I wanted to make sure that we talk about. All right. I want to make sure we have enough different. We've covered enough different ways that people can find something that's going to work for them. So when they are in this place, they can have a mindset shift. And one of the things, too, that like Michelle was saying, when you go a lot of times to seminars that are motivating and inspirational, you'll have a shift just being there. Things will come out and stuff will happen, and there's an energy with all the different people, and that gives you that aha moment. And maybe that's just enough to help you to move forward and to see, oh, I didn't realize I was doing this. Now I can do something different. So that, I think, is really good. The other thing is I wanted to find out, what else do you guys think that is good to help people shift their mindset from that place where they have no money?
I know what that feels like. Well, you know, it's a bit of a game, you know. You know, some people will say, you know, I've tried affirmations and I tried sort of the mind techniques and I say this stuff and I've got, you know, there's more than enough, I got plenty, or every day and every way it's getting better and better, and I say it, but it's bull crap. It's not real. And what I have to say to that is that, okay, I get that. What you want to do is you get to a place where, you know, because affirmations do work. It's just my experience is that you want to actually get into the feeling first, you know. Okay. Abraham Hicks talks about it, get into the vortex. So get into the experience of abundance and then use an affirmation. So, you know, start with in the morning, best time to do it is, you know, if it's sunny, I'll be like, oh, you know, I'm really grateful the sun's out. And, oh, I'm really grateful that, you know, I slept really well tonight. Or I'm really grateful that, you know, I feel pretty good and you know, I'm looking forward to my day. And then just say to yourself, when you get in that feeling, just say every day and every way it's getting better and better. You mentioned earlier on the call, Dawn, that, you know, you said how you want to share with people on the call how to get money and not lose it. You know, if you're feeling bad about yourself, what tends to happen is you stop providing service. You stop contributing. You stop doing what you were doing. And if you're in a job or you're in a business and you stop contributing and providing service, guess what happens? You just close the funnel of money to you. So,
yep.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're talking about stocks and all this other stuff, that's a whole different thing. But I'm saying just like the regular service that you provide, it's got to be coming to you, even if it's coming from products, even if it's coming from a job, even if it's coming from, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, there's some form of service, some form of contribution that you're providing. And as soon as you feel bad about yourself or, you know, just feel sorry about yourself, what happens? You stop contributing. And as soon as you stop contributing, service goes away, and guess what happens to the money? It goes away too. So I think that's a big thing is that, you know, Michelle mentioned earlier, keep your energy up. And if you do, you'll be in service. You'll be in contribution. You'll be in action. And when you are, the money will flow to you.
Right. If you're giving something to people, then it comes back to you. It's that karma type of thing. And you are creating that good, you know, vibe around yourself. You're going to feel good about yourself, and then you're going to allow it to come back. So it's about that and about accepting it, you know, which is Michelle was saying, which is really important. Another good thing is to surround yourself with people that are positive and that are successful already and that are making things happen, because those people will raise you up. If you hang around with them, they'll raise you up with them. They're not going down. they're not going down, and anyone around them isn't either. Otherwise, you won't be around for very long, let me tell you. So it's like you either join them in that vibe and go up with them or get out. Because, yeah, it's true. Because people like that don't have room for somebody who's trying to bring them down or taking that, you know, putting that energy in. So the thing is, find them. I mean, and it's really easy now on social media to find people that have that energy and are doing things, and for you to hang out with them. You can feel that energy even if you're talking to someone on Twitter. You do not have to be sitting in the room. Right, you guys?
No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to say too that to back up something Steve said, I'm not good at lying to myself, but I can say I am in the process of creating abundance in my life, because as soon as I start to focus on that, I am in the process. I'm not lying to myself, so I don't have to do that, and that works really well. Just be in the process.
I love that. Yeah, just get going. Get into action. You know,
right.
No matter what, the thing is, And I think if you can start out with just giving things to people, hanging around with people that are making it happen, and do the little goals like Steve was talking about, where, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. If that's all you can do, then do that, and then make sure that you raise that a little bit higher and get to the part where you start to get back into the workforce and making stuff happen. But I just want to say, because we have a few seconds here left, that's it, that Steve, you are wonderful. We are so glad you're here. Michelle, you're always wonderful. I love it. And next week we have, we're going to talk about angels, and Miss Bonnie, who is very famous, is going to be here to spend some time with us. So make sure you guys are here.
Awesome. My pleasure to be here. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.